Today we'll be talking about quite an important topic. We'll talk about the teaching of Jesus as teacher. Then after that, we'll talk last week about the scriptures. But today we're going to talk about authority. Okay, we're going to be talking about authority. All right. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer first, that we can calm our hearts and then prepare our hearts for the lesson today. Then after that, we can go on with the lesson on authority. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we are before you today, that we have the privilege of coming into your house, Lord. We just think of the many countries of this world that do not have this privilege, whereby Christianity is a choice that people make to face. Lord, there is a possibility of them facing life or death, Lord, because of their decision to be a Christian. Yet, Lord, help us to realize our need to be strong in our own hearts, to know that we are Christians first, and the things that you require of us, that you want us to follow you, to do those things that you want us to do. We thank you for what you're going to do today as we learn this important topic. I pray that all of us, Lord, fathers, mothers, and all the people that are here, the children, the teens and young adults, all of us who understand this important topic on authority, the Lord, your Holy Spirit will impress on us your perception and the truth, Lord, of authority that you've laid out for us in the Bible. We thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the Sunday school upstairs. Bless the service to follow too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well. All right. Hopefully you all have your notes already. I'm going to talk on this important topic, or rather teach this important topic. Please feel free to put up your hands, all right, if there's something that you're not too sure about, okay? In Matthew 28, verse 18, I think the verse is there. Let's read together, okay? It's a beginning. Ready? One, two, begin. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Have you ever wondered why Jesus actually said that? You know, we read this verse all the time in the Great Commission, whereby God actually then sends people out to do his mission work. But it's interesting that Jesus introduces his Great Commission by saying, all power is given unto me. Okay? After this, I'll actually be talking about the meaning of authority and power. Okay? I'll just introduce it. The issue of authority is one seldom taught today in churches. Would you agree? Seldom. So when's the last time you heard something on authority? Okay, we've talked about it, but not as a topic. It's an uncomfortable topic. It's an uncomfortable topic, and yet it's an important subject that has great bearing on the running of institutions and the relationships within those institutions created under God. Okay, today we want to look at the general teaching of authority, how Jesus demonstrated in his teachings and in his life, and then what we need to do in our approach to authority in our lives. And by the way, all of us have authority in our lives. You can't run away from that. Would you agree? We have authority in our lives. Okay, if you do something wrong, then suddenly you find the police knocking on your door. Why? Because the governmental authority comes to enforce law and order. And we must understand authority is given, later on I'll show you, authority is given by God to ensure peace and order so that we as human beings will be able to have the peaceful life. Okay? So let me just show you from the Bible first how God presents himself, okay, in being the authoritative one. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 15, let me just read, I think the verses I deliberately printed out so that you could follow along too. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Hezekiah, in his prayer, exalted God and said, you alone rule over the earth, because you are the one who created heavens and the earth. Okay? In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Now there's a lot of authority if no one can resist God. Okay? Daniel chapter 4, verse 34, 35. Nebuchadnezzar, one of the kings of the earth, one of the most powerful kings during the time, in his time, was actually humbled by God. And then, you know, it's interesting because this pagan king thought that his kingdom that he has was because of himself. And God said, you got it wrong. I was the one who gave it to you. And God had to humble Nebuchadnezzar for 7 years, turn him into an animal, until he came to his senses. Okay? Look at verse 34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. Listen carefully. Every time you rebel against authority, you have no understanding. I say again, every time you will go against authority, you have no understanding, because Nebuchadnezzar, not the wisest king, the most powerful king, in his own words said, at the end of my judgment by God, my understanding returned to me. Now I understand. Okay, what did he understand? And I blessed the Most High God, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. This was spoken of by the most powerful king, and he says, everyone living on earth is nothing before God, because of his power. And God, he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what dost thou? Now, if you take note of the last verse there, Nebuchadnezzar said, no one can tell God, hey, what are you doing? No one has the power to do that. No, in our member of parliament, you can challenge one another, etc. But you know, when it comes to God, no one can actually tell God and point your finger at him and say, what are you doing? You can't. He's God. And God has the absolute authority and right to execute what he needs to seen done, okay? So God's authority is established, and we as Christians need to understand that. Then, in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, the biblical teaching on authority, okay? I'll just go through it so that you can, the purpose of actually printing out the notes, so you can make notes along the way and all that. So, does everyone have? Please, so you can make notes along the way. Please keep those notes, all right? So we're going to get a survey one soon, so that we can see whether these notes are useful, whether you're following it up. It's very disheartening to see notes everywhere after that. And we've seen sometimes notes, people actually fill in, but then don't bring home. So I hope you will bring home and keep it. Okay, now in Romans 13, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The Bible says clearly, number one, you can fill in the blanks now, all authority is from God. Every single authority on planet Earth is delegated authority from God. God says, all, let every soul be subject to the high powers, because there is no power but of God, and the powers that be, that are existing, that are legally existing, our idea of legal doesn't mean it has to be country that God ordained, okay, are of God. Appointed by God. After we talk about all those in the life of Christ, okay? Number one, all authority is from God. Number two, we are to be in submission to all authority delegated by God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. It's non-negotiable. It is an instruction from the Most High God. It's non-negotiable. You cannot say, I don't like this person, so I'm not going to follow this person. You can't say that. If God has given him the authority, our goal is to be in submission. The word submit means to come under the obedience of someone else. Okay? So we are to be in submission to all authority delegated by God. And the Bible says in verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, in the context of this, the Roman Empire during that time, Paul was teaching the Roman Christians, look, you still need to follow your authorities. You still need to follow the authorities, okay? You can't just do what you want. You are still living under civil authority, and therefore it is important for you to actually listen to the authority. Paul goes on to say, there will be consequences if we do not submit ourselves to the authority that God has placed over us. Make no mistake. Sometimes we think you can get away with not listening, right? No, you can't. You just can't. You know why? God sees who rebels against authority, as parents, as a church, as government. People can, you know, there's this principle in life: do what you want, just don't get caught, right? I'm sorry, it doesn't work with God. Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And you know, I was telling my children one time about the second coming one time. Remember, all things that are done wrong will one day be righted by the justice of God. Whether in this life or in the life to come. If we don't make right now, we will need to make right before God. And you know, the non-believers who want to resist God, one day will have to stand before God, and God will right that wrong by sending them to hell forever. That's a sad thing. But not because you resist God. Okay, so there will be consequences if we do not submit ourselves to your authority. Any questions? Okay, let's be very clear on this. Okay, what is authority? Jesus mentioned in Matthew 28 verse 18, which is the first verse, Jesus came and said that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is a very important verse that Jesus spoke, because it actually represents something that's inherent in him now, which gives us authority as a church. After this, we'll talk about that, okay? The word power here means privilege, okay, a privilege. It can also mean a force, competency. It means also delegated influence, example, like authority. God is the source of authority. All the other authorities have delegated authority. In other words, for example, in Singapore, we have the government is supposed to be the authority. Okay, actually they are not. Actually, our constitution is. It's based on our constitution. They cannot act contrary to our constitution. Does that make sense? Okay, and that's an interesting concept, because as Christians, the church is based on the constitution. We cannot act contrary to this. By the way, your life cannot act contrary to this too, because this is the constitution. Okay, it's interesting. We talk about authority. Okay, the Lord Jesus has been given all privileges and the ability to enact the privilege and receive as authority in this universe. Right now, the person in charge of the entire universe is the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given him. God says, God the Father is telling God the Son, you have died on the cross, you have rose from the dead, all authority is yours. Do what you believe is the right thing at this time. Okay? Now, what is the meaning of authority? This is a very... Look at Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4. It has the idea of authority here. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? What does that mean? It simply means when a king, someone in authority, say a word, there is actually a whole force of influence behind that. And who can actually say, who can challenge the king? You know, it's a sad thing if you look across society, churches, families, whereby the challenge of authority, to authority, is so strong. But the Bible teaching on authority is, where the word of a king is, there's a word spoken, there is power, there's authority. Who may say unto him, what doest thou? Okay? Herbert Locklear, which is a Baptist pastor in the 1800s, wrote, authority is the independent commission from God that carries with it the power of his execution. That means when God gives, for example, the policeman in Singapore, we have the privilege of having a policeman in our house, so we're pretty safe. And Jeremiah was telling me that every police officer will be given a warrant card. And he said that they can actually arrest anyone 24/7, even though they're off duty, by producing that card. Of course, not anyhow lah. But if someone is stealing, or he can actually say, look, you're under arrest because of the warrant card. Of course, he won't go independently because he's not armed. Yeah, but he can call his friends and all that. But if he needs to make the arrest, he needs a warrant of arrest. He has the card, he has the authority, and he's not supposed to lose it. Once he loses it, he goes to jail. Okay? But he has a warrant card. What does that mean? Before that, he was just a recruit, you know, bald-headed. But after he graduated, he is given the authority by Singapore, the police force, to arrest anyone who does anything that is wrong. Okay? And that's an interesting concept, isn't it? Because you cannot say, hey, who are you? The power is not in the person. The power is in the warrant. The power is in the card. Okay? When a person resists arrest, the person can be not only guilty for the crime, he's also guilty for resisting arrest. because of the power of the Warren card. Okay? Now, when you think of that, this is exactly what authority is. Okay? We'll just go on and then we'll talk about it, alright? So, any question about that? Yes? Yes? Yeah, correct. Okay. 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 Okay, they abuse, okay. Okay. I understand what you're saying, yeah. But even there must be the rightful use of the authority. And of course, in the appointed person, you're right in saying that the authority is in the card. Of course, it's vested, therefore, in the person. So the person, exactly, if Jeremiah loses a card, he goes to jail because he didn't do it properly. He didn't keep the card properly. Thanks for that comment, okay? It's, yeah. Brother Francis?
We know that even Pilate, right?
Pilate, yeah? Amen.
But my question is, how about those commands by Herod, you know, the Herod was the king when Jesus was born, right?
Yeah.
He gave orders to this wise man that, you know, you have to search this infant Jesus and tell me, but
okay.
And one more example is that Hitler, you know, Hitler, you know that he's
SS.
Authority, then.
You kill, okay. Sure, okay. After this, I'll cover that answer. Alright, I'll cover the answer as we go along because that's important. Yes. Just to be clear on that, when you use the Bible to preach, the authority is in the Bible itself. Now, Paul is very clear in the book of Philippians when he was preaching. There are some people who preach because of for money for themselves. Paul says, I don't care, because as long as people get saved through the word. Now, that's specifically to the preaching of the Bible. Do you realize the Bible have inherent authority? Meaning that you don't have to defend it. He will defend itself. He has his own authority. You cannot destroy the Bible. People have tried to destroy the Bible over the centuries. They can't. Why? Because it's independent authority. It's actually protected by God himself. Okay, that's his word. He's not going to let it go. However, probably in other areas of authority, like the prefect or the people who pick up, and those people who pick up a badge or whatever and use it and abuse it when caught, it will very, very severe consequences because your impersonation is actually wrong. Although the people recognize the badge, right? Some people say, I mean, come, I'll come to Brother Esmond and say, sorry, you're under arrest. He said, oh, really? Because once arrest, but you never see the photo, whose photo is that? So I bring him and take his money and all that kind of thing. But if I'm caught, so for the response of the person, he's still responding to the warrant. Okay? Of course, that person, if he's caught, will be severely dealt with by the courts. Does that make sense? Also, there's impersonation. When it comes to the Bible, it's a bit, I won't say it's different. God will still judge the preacher. Let's say if I'm a backslidden preacher, but I still use the Bible. No backslidden preacher will use the Bible. I still use the Bible and preach. God can still save souls because of his word. But God is going to slap me big time, discipline me big time because of my... Okay? So for Herod, it's interesting. I remember when Pilate actually sentenced Jesus to death. He says, don't you know I have the power to set you free? Jesus says, no. The reason why I'm captured is because God gave you the authority. I'm going to submit to the authority. Okay? Because that's the will of God. All right? But we'll talk about when King Herod asked to kill the person later. Okay? It's all there. All right, let's move on quickly. All right? I'm going to try to finish by 10:30. Okay, authority in the life of Christ and his teachings. I'm going to give you many verses of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he said personally. And our goal is to become like Christ, and so we need to know what he says. I want you to look firstly at the word of authority, what Jesus said. In Mark 1:27, And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commanded the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." There was a man in a synagogue. He was possessed. Jesus says, "Get out of that man." And the demons fled. And the people were looking, "Hey, what's happening?" With authority he commanded, he used his word, and even the unclean spirits obey him. Okay? Luke 4:36. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." In other words, when Jesus says, "Come out," the demons knew they got to listen to him. And they fled. Okay? And the people, when they looked, "What is this?" Okay, they were astounded. In Mark 4:39-41, this is an interesting one. "He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm." Notice in verse 41, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus spoke to the wind. And apparently, according to the Bible, that's a miracle, of course. The wind could hear the word of authority from Jesus. He said, "Peace, be still." And the Bible says what? The wind come down. Do you know why? Everything that Jesus created is submission in him. He has the power to execute his word. Peace, be still. Okay? Matthew 4, verse 4, he made it very clear. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The word of authority in the Bible. We have to understand, as believers, when God gave the word, there is authority behind that. Okay? And then you see in the life of Christ, you notice parental authority that Jesus mentions. Luke 2:51, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was in submission unto them," and was subject unto them, when his mother kept all these things in her heart. "He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject," he was in submission. See, the life of Christ, he was in submission to his parents. The Bible is very, very clear. There was a commentator who said, all the learning, all the behaviors, all the lifestyle of Christ when he was a child, all emanated from this, that he was in submission to his parents. And the parents, interestingly, are godly parents who love God. Joseph and Mary, remember them? Mary, at the expense of her life, obeyed God in the conception of the child. Joseph, not knowing anything except that God says, "Take unto thee Mary thy wife, because within her is conceived of the Holy Ghost." You know, this is the will of God. And Joseph had to, can you imagine the husband being a father of a child that I didn't father? But of course, when God intervened, he said, "This is of the Holy Ghost." That's faith and that's obedience. They were two godly. And these two submitted to the authority of God. Okay? And that's a very interesting equivalent. When we submit as fathers to the authority of God's word in every area of our lives, you will find that our children will follow suit. Okay? And there's something to drop in. Because Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus was in submission to parental authority. Okay? In other words, children is non-negotiable because it's in the life of Christ. But you know, sometimes parents, we need to give children the desire to want to obey when we obey God. When we do things and make decisions contrary to the principles of Scripture, we are encouraging our children to do the same. Okay? So, and by the way, your children won't tell you. They just follow. "Hey, Papa never go, I don't go." Okay? The next one, Jesus in his life talked about governmental authority. Okay? Notice in Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. Is it printed there? Okay? I'll just read through. This is an interesting one. "And when they came to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Does not your master pay tribute? He said, Yes. And when he was come to the house, Jesus prevented him." Not prevented him. The idea is, Jesus pulled him aside, okay, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? of your own children or strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto them, him. Then are the children free. In other words, they don't have to pay the tribute because they belong to the king. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go down to the sea, cast in hook, and take up a fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, and there take and give unto them for me and thee. This is one of the miracles of Jesus, whereby a coin was found in the fish's mouth. Okay, go and fish, coin come out, take the coin, go and pay your taxes. Now, this incident, interestingly, so studying it, does not include, it doesn't actually have the reference to Roman taxes, because it's tribute money to the temple. It's different. Okay, for the Roman emperor, later on we'll talk about, okay, you're supposed to pay your taxes. Okay, but in this situation, it was tribute money. Okay, now it's called the temple tax. The temple tax was something the Jewish people would do, but legally not compulsory. It's a proper thing to do, kind of like a building fund. You know, as you're a church member, you should give because you're a member. But actually, it's not legally compulsory. Okay? Now, the Jewish people paid the temple tax each March to maintain the temple, but it's strictly not compulsory. I'll say it again. Okay? The people at the temple were asking, hey, does Jesus the rabbi pay taxes? Hey, you should, you know. So there was an expectation, like many churches today, an expectation to actually give. Okay? The Lord Jesus put Peter aside and asked him, who do kings take tribute from? Now I ask you, who do kings take tribute from, usually? From the people they captured, right? From those people who don't belong to the country, tribute. Does that make sense? Then Jesus then said, yeah, you're right. And so the children are actually free. I don't have to pay. Do you know the relevance of this? Jesus is saying, this temple belongs to my heavenly Father. Actually, I don't have to pay. That's what he's saying here in the context. I don't have to pay the temple tax. Temple belongs to my Father. You know? Like for some of the children, you live in the house, right? Do you have to pay rental? I know some parents insist. Maybe we should, huh? Dad, maybe we should get our children to pay rental. Then they'll... No, just kidding. They don't have to pay rental. Why? Because they are children of the Father. Right? Okay, but notice what Jesus actually said. Jesus says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go and pay them, all right? Get the coin from the fish and pay them. Jesus was indicating the temple belongs to his heavenly Father, and actually he did not have to pay, but in order not to offend them, he actually paid. In order not to offend them, he actually paid. You know, there's one thinking that doesn't sit well for Singaporeans. Why should I pay for something I don't? Why should I pay for something I don't get? You know, when I give, I make sure I get, right? No, the Lord Jesus Christ was pretty clear. Yes, it belongs to me. I have the right not to pay, but I'll still pay so that I don't offend them. Okay? After this, we'll talk about that again. This is a very important principle of our Christian life as well. Remember, this is talking about governmental authority. Mark 12, 17, and Jesus answering said unto them, they're just these people who says, Jesus, should we pay taxes to the Roman governor? What did Jesus do? Give me a coin. Okay, whose face is on the coin? Okay, same thing you can do in Singapore, you know. Should we pay taxes to the Singapore government? Okay, who has a dollar note or whatever note? Whose face is there? Whose face is there? No dollar, no. Have what? Dollar coin. Dollar coin don't have. Maybe, no more face. Last time they have Richard Hu and whoever. Last time. Remember? Now no more. Okay, so whose signature is on the Prime Minister, right? So then what did Jesus say? It's render to Caesar the things that belongs to Caesar and render to God the things that belong to God. What belongs to God? Let me ask you, what belongs to God? Everything we have. Okay, so we need to be very clear. Paying of taxes is for the progress of the nation. There's an obligation to the government and it's mandatory for us to obey the authority in these matters. We are to render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. But it's interesting, I just want to make a comment. When it comes to things spiritual, any law that restricts the worship, growth, and work of the Lord, the people will have to make a decision to obey God rather than man. That was exactly what happened in the early church. The Pharisees said, "Don't you dare preach in the name of Jesus again." And in Acts 5:29, what did Peter and the apostle says? We ought to obey God rather than man. That answers your question for Brother Francis. When Herod, let's say if I'm under King Herod, I was supposed to kill all the children, I need to make a choice. Because if I'm a Jew, the Bible says thou shalt not kill. And look, I'm killing innocent people. But King, what are you doing? Of course, I risk being killed. Just like in Hitler's regime, you know. I believe there will be a small segment of those German soldiers that did not want to kill. But some of them killed to the point that it's just part and parcel. If they don't kill, then they will be executed. Did you know that? The soldiers actually had to comply, otherwise they themselves would be executed. All right? Esther Joy was just interested in reading. Do you realize there's actually in the German camp, there was actually freedom fighters who did not believe in the Nazi regime. Okay, there were some Germans people who did not, they formed, I can't remember, they called the Rose Party or something like that. And at the moment they were identified, they were caught, tried, executed straight away because they resisted Hitler's regime. Okay, so you have a choice. If you believe, no, Hitler is not right, you better have Jesus Christ in your heart because the next thing is death. Okay, so in that situation, Peter was given an order not to preach, but he said we ought to obey God rather than man. Okay. So, any questions? Okay, I was talking to a pastor one time. Sorry.
Let's say we are in the army, Singapore army, and we go to war.
Okay, war is a different situation. War is a different situation. Because war brings with it, the idea is number one, we don't want to kill anyone. But we have to protect our families. That's different. I'll make it very clear. Because they're going to kill my wife and my family. So, in the protection, that's a different story already. Okay? I'm not going to say, okay, welcome, kill my wife. Because no, we have the responsibility to protect our own, even with our lives. Yeah, so war is a different situation. Interesting, yes. Interesting. There was one actually very, very interesting.
Let's say, for example, country A and country M. M is a brethren. You are a brethren. Until you go to war, because of some political reasons.
Yeah. Actually, in that situation, I'll just cite a story that I saw. There was actually happened a British and a German soldier, and they're both Christians. It was during Christmas time, okay? And the German soldier was actually a prisoner of war of this British soldier. So they found out they were Christians. And so they actually celebrated Christmas together. But then later on, he also realized that he has a responsibility to his country. He killed the German soldier because of his responsibility, because the Germans were advancing. Yeah. So these are things that I think these are the rarities at the site, okay? But the main thing is when Singapore goes to war, when we carry arms, it's not so that I can get my own glory. It's so that my children and my country can survive and live and not be under. So that's a different motivation, okay? Of course, if you feel that you don't want to, it's up to you, okay? But in that situation, it's a totally different era. That's why God actually hell kill all the Amalekites. Why? They were pagan. They were sacrificing babies to Baal and say, look, get rid of this culture because they are going to kill more innocent people. Do it. And that's why he asked Joshua and King Saul and all these people to do. Alright? So we have to understand that. Okay? Now, moving forward. Okay, so there was parental word of authority, there's parental authority, there's governmental authority, now there's spiritual authority. What did Jesus talk about spiritual authority? In Matthew 23, verse 2 and 3, this is interesting. The Bible says the scribes and Jesus actually said the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Moses' seat means the seat of the law. Okay, that means that Moses is the lawgiver. So the Pharisees' seat on Moses' seat means they are the lawgivers now. In other words, they are in the respectful, or rather in the right place of spiritual authority. Okay? Or therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But of course, do not eat after their works, for they say and do not. Now, this is an interesting thing. So spiritually, if I'm a backslidden, backbiting pastor, I said, Brother Joshua, can you please sweep the floor? Do you realize that it is his biblical obligation to obey me? But of course, he's not supposed to be backbiting and backslidden. That's what Jesus is saying, isn't it? A lot of us tie the person to the place. In authority, is a separate thing. When God puts the person in the authority, we observe the person's words because of the authority given to them. We may not like the Prime Minister, but we still listen to them. A lot of people say, no, that person in authority must earn my trust. That is unbiblical. The moment you disobey the man in a position of spiritual authority, just because you don't like that person or whatever that person has done, that is sin against God. Because Jesus says, those people sitting in Moses' seat give you something to observe. Jesus says, that observe and do. He was very clear. Go and do what they tell you, but don't imitate their life. Does that make sense? Oh, that is hard. How many of you like your bosses? No, 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 put your hand. I hope you do. You need to pray for them, right? You may not like your boss, but do you obey them? Of course, I'm a pastor. If I don't obey them, I don't get my pay, you know. Yeah. But you know what Jesus teaches, and this is something that we need to understand. When a person is in authority, we obey him, irregardless of how we feel, think. But if the person doesn't have anything, and you decide a person, that's a totally different story. But Jesus is saying, look, these Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, we know their life, they are hypocrites. Because Jesus made it very clear. But you know what? They are still in that position of spiritual authority. If they ask you to observe and do, still obey them. That is the biblically right thing to do. Okay? Wow, that's hard. I'll give you a stronger impetus with that. Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. That's not stronger, but it's just all righteousness. Matthew 3, 15, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now this is one of the most glaring examples of the humility of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized. John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, I know you. You are the Son of God. I have needs to be baptized of you and comest thou to me? What is he saying? Look, you are the Son of God. You don't have to be baptized by me. I need to be baptized by you. What did Jesus say? No, that was not God's will. John the Baptist's job was to be baptized. And the instruction that John the Baptist was given by God, John chapter 1, verse 33, I believe, was to baptize the people that came. To Jesus wasn't given the authority to baptize. And so Jesus says, allow it to be so now. If the King of Kings was willing to be baptized by a mere mortal because of God's instruction, it's not about whether we are prepared to be baptized or not. It's not about whether we are ready to be baptized or not. It's about fulfilling the righteousness of God. Does that make sense? And Jesus didn't have to, but he submitted to it. A genuine Christian will understand this authority. But Lord, it goes against what I think, but because I love you, I'll still obey you. You know, sometimes children, parents may ask you to do certain things. How many of you should, why me again? I haven't done it for the last 2 minutes already. You ask me to do it again. Well, just pick up the tissue, you know. I know I've been picking out the two tissues. And someone know I throw one there. But you know what? If dad and mom says, pick it up, say, yes, mom, I will just pick it up. Be very careful in your children, parents. Can I say this? When there's the moment there's a dragging of feet to do, it indicates a heart not willing to submit to authority. And when they grow up, you better mark their lives because there will be certain things they will do without your authority too. And you need to know, parents, you need to be aware of what your children do. Yes? The Bible says, apply the rod of correction to the seed of understanding. One thing, I'll say this one rule, we do not tolerate rebellion. We do not tolerate when children are When children are dishonoring to their parents, say, who are you? Hey, are you? And they treat parents as if they are their good friend. It's okay to be good friends when they are doing the right thing, but you know, when it comes to instruction, when they start to swa hua yang, and it's interesting, we need to have, as parents, zero tolerance for rebellion in our families. And also, when children disobey, we need to have zero tolerance for that. You know why? Because when we allow them to get away with it, we're actually telling them it's okay to go against instructions. When it's absolutely a no-no with God. Now, we don't like lock them in the storeroom and chain them up. No, that is it. But we need to lovingly, firmly execute the discipline we need to get them. Okay? Now we can talk about that at length, because a lot of teenagers are not listening to their parents today. You know why? Because parents will let them go when they're young. It's okay to, I don't want to do now, can? It's okay, okay. You know what you're doing? You're encouraging disobedience. Make no mistake, fathers and mothers, you will suffer the consequences of that. Okay? Now, having said that, children said this. I've always said this. I'm on the side of both of you. Satan wants to destroy the family. And the rebellious streak continues. And it's not just the dads trying desperately to keep the family together and the mom together, but no, children, you need to play your cooperative part. Say, I'm not going to allow Satan to destroy my family. I'm going to listen to mom and dad. I may not agree with them all the time. The Bible teach, you don't have to agree with them. You just have to listen to the authority. Okay? For the sake of defeating Satan, because Satan rebels against authority all the time. Help parents. Because parents have to think about multiple things, work, keeping the family together, worrying about bills or whatever. And just a simple obedience will just lighten the load. I can tell you, how many of you as dads and moms don't care even if you have a $10,000 bill if your parents are obeying? Because you can work hard to get if your children are obeying you. Yeah. Because you're working together, yeah. They work, and who knows? Do you think you can go to work? Yes, dad, I'll just take a part-time job to help you. It's such a joy. But you know why some families are like loggerheads? Rebellion. Rebellion is tied to music. Rebellion is tied to advice from friends. Rebellion is tied to information you get from all those gossip magazines and how you should not listen to your dad and mom. How should you hide? Generating rebellion, okay? I'm very fervent about this. You know why? Well, I've seen families growing up destroyed when they had a chance to work at that, okay? And that's why husband and wife must work together. We may not like what is happening, but we need to deal with that. All right? Okay, moving forward, okay? Indications of Lord Jesus' authority, very quickly. Jesus had authority over demons, very clearly, Luke 4:36, and they were amazed and speak among themselves, saying, what a word is it for what? With authority and power, he commanded the evil spirits, unclean spirits, and they came out. Even the devils believe and they tremble because Jesus had the force of authority. Jesus had authority over nature. Just now the winds and the sea, winds and the water obey him. Jesus had authority over, he could even walk on water. No one besides Peter ever did that. Peter was a momentary one. But you know, Jesus had authority to even tell Peter, you come. And Jesus delegated the authority to Peter to walk on the water for a while until he lost sight of Christ, he fell into the water. So Jesus had, in his own lives, shown us his authority. Remember, authority is an independent commission from God that carries with it the power of his execution. In other words, when Jesus said this, that's that. That's why I'm very fearful for children of God who do not obey God's word. Do you realize this word itself is independent commission from God and carries with it the power of his execution? When Jehovah told Abraham, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. Every nation that's gone against Israel has been cursed. Any nation that chooses another religion over Christ, the Catholic nation, some of them, are total darkness, poverty, our neighbors. If you go over just from Singapore to our neighboring countries, you go back in time, 40, 50 years, in terms of its structure and sometimes in terms of the way people treat one another. Okay? So, understand that. Okay, moving forward, next one is church authority. Do you realize Jesus did teach church authority in the Bible? And that's why we believe that Jesus started his church in the Gospels, not on Acts chapter 1 and 2. Okay? The church authority to do God's work. Matthew 16, verse 18 to 19, the Bible says, 18 and 19, Jesus says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That's interesting. The Bible says, the church, Jesus says, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Do you know what that is? Okay. If we believe in the literal interpretation of Scripture, the local church has the keys of heaven. What are those keys? Look at Luke chapter 2, 11:52. The Bible interprets itself. Okay. Jesus told the scribes, the lawyers, and the Pharisees, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." What is the key? What's the key? Sorry? Knowledge, okay. What knowledge is it talking about to enter into the kingdom of God? Anyone? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of God. Do you realize that when people get saved, basically we are giving them the key? Every time you actually win a soul to Jesus Christ, every time you share the gospel, you're actually giving the keys to someone to go to heaven. And Jesus says, "I will give unto you the keys of heaven." And I don't know about you, that is really, really a privilege that God will give us, humans, not just individually, but as a local church, the power to win a soul to Christ. And that person, listen, our job is just to give the keys, not to bring the person to heaven. We can't do that. But you know, our constant job should be, to give these keys, the word of God. That's why we have, thank God, brother team, he sends out through the website and his team. We have tracks. We have brethren who personally share the gospel. We are tracking on Wednesday. Why? Consistently sending out the keys. And that's why some of you are here today, because someone sent out the keys to you. And the Bible says, God, the church has the authority to do God's work because we are given the key. In John chapter 20, verse 22, 23, Jesus tell the apostles, "And when he has said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Does that mean that as pastor, I have to say, "Brother Henry, you're not forgiven"? No, that's not what he's saying. Jesus is just saying, "Look, I'm giving you delegated authority that when you preach the gospel and the person gets saved, okay, that is your account." Okay, the sins that, in other words, you preach the gospel, the person receives Christ, the person's sins is forgiven, the sin is remitted, and he gets to go to heaven. Okay, we are just instruments carrying those keys. Okay, but if those persons refuse to accept Christ through the preaching of the word, telling the apostles, the sins are retained, and they will die and go to hell. I don't know about you, that's awesome responsibility for the church. When you understand the force of authority, when Jesus says, "Look, this is the authority I've given to you," and we don't use it, we sin against God. It's just like your teacher give you homework, you don't do. Then after school, you got to stay back for 3 hours to finish your homework. There's a force of authority. Okay? Stop me as I go, if you... Okay? Then in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20... That is why Jesus says, "All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore." The authority has been given to me now. This authority is interesting. It's spiritual authority. Go now. Go ye therefore. Okay, it is the church has a God-given commission, authority to go. Go and teach all nations. Number two, the church also had God-given authority to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Many churches don't even teach that. Okay, there must be an authority to baptize. Okay, those of you who join the church, it's not just about frivolously, "Oh, I feel like I can baptize." Some churches, anyone can baptize. If you're a cell leader, whatever, you can get baptized. Or rather, you can baptize another person. Not so with God. It must be authority. And we need to recognize that the authority is because of Scripture. All right, and he has the power and authority to do the work of discipleship and teach them to observe all things whatsoever we have commanded you. Okay? The church has the power to do God's work also because he has authority to discipline its members. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 17 to 21, the whole thing, if the person neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now we just treat him as an unsafe man. Wow. That's what Jesus says. This is actually church discipline in Matthew chapter 18, verse 17 to 21. Okay, and this is reinforced in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4 and 5, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan. That is in the scriptures. Okay? And the purpose of that is never to cut people out. It's to realize that, just like a dad and mom will say, hey, come son, let's do your homework. I don't want. No, let's. And you try to encourage. But after a few times, you realize that this person is not going to budge. Well, you have a choice. Either you do the homework or not going to the zoo on Sunday. The one. The next part is to, because it's disobedience. Okay, you need to be very clear. When a child can get away with disobedience once, he'll try a second time. Okay? This is actually attested by research. Okay? If a person can get, that's why people keep on going to lottery. And they just touch, oh, I touched $100, may I try again? And I don't know. You know, in gambling, the statistic, you will probably win one or two times, and then you keep trying. Maybe the next time, maybe the next time, maybe the next time. Why? You'll never win one. Okay? But you know, it's the idea that if I can get away one time, human behavior, I will try it again. Okay? Moving forward, the church also has the power from God. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. When Jesus was on planet Earth, whose power did the disciples have to do the work? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Because Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 18, I believe, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus gave his power to them. But Jesus is living. And he says, I'm going to ask you to do the work, but don't do first until you wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that is next chapter 1. Verse 8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. The word witnesses literally means martyrs. You will actually literally, as you preach the word of God, some of them are going to kill you for it. You will be martyrs unto me. Okay? And you know what? As Ambassador Baptist Church, we will not be able to do God's work without his power. I dare not preach as fearlessly as I do if I do not have the word of God. Okay? The comparison of authority in the life of Jesus. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 28-29. Okay, any questions on those authorities that Jesus referred to? Okay, we move forward, all right? Time is running from us. I'll just go on. In Matthew 7, 28-29, after Jesus preached or taught the Sermon on the Mount, it came to pass when Jesus ended his saying, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now that's interesting, because after the people finish hearing what Jesus is saying, it says, who is this guy? Have you ever had that kind of thing when you sit in a seminar and say, wow, this guy is very inspiring, huh? And it's as if he is the authority of his subject, probably. He's very knowledgeable. I was quite awed by one Dr. Carl Whelan, one of the creation scientists. He's known to be able to answer any questions in chemistry, biology, and physics. Anything you ask him, he can answer. He's that smart. And he was an evolutionist. Later on, he trusted Christ. That was the wisest thing he ever did. But when Jesus taught, the Bible says that people were astonished, they were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed at his teaching. Two things here. The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ lay with his message. They were astonished at the teaching. Because in the past, they heard the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees would say, oh, you need to do this. Oh, you need to do this. You cannot do this. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came and said, the Pharisees told you this, right? I'm going to tell you that this is what you do. Say, wow, that's different. Totally different. The message of God's word, the authority of the Lord was laid with his message. But interestingly, the second part is this, the authority of the Lord was closely linked to his personality and testimony. Because before he taught, in Matthew chapter 4, he was already healing the sick, raising the dead. he was already showing them. You know, to a world that hate and hate and hate, the Lord Jesus Christ came and said, love your enemies. It's like, what? And he demonstrated it later when he died on the cross. Okay? You know what? This is interesting because I just applied it to myself as father. The authority that I have as father relate very much to the message I send to my children. Fathers and mothers, what message are we sending to our children? Is it, study hard, study hard, study hard? Or worse still, some fathers don't even have any message for their children. Just do what you want. Now do what I want. Fathers, do we have testimony with our children that we are godly? That we will do those things? You know, as I thought about this, look, I'm not trying to put guilt trip on everyone. But I believe very much that there comes a time as when we look at the teachings of the Lord, it must convict us somehow. Because our Lord, when He taught, people listened to Him. You know, one of the hardest things as parents is to get our children to listen to us, right? And then I learned one thing for myself. I asked myself this, why don't my children listen to me? Is it because of me? And because when Jesus taught, He taught as one having authority. One with an independent commission from God that carries with it the power of His execution. Other indications of authority in the Gospels, very quickly, John had authority to baptize. In John 1:33, and I knew him not, for he that sent me to baptize with water, the same say unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and near him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. That's John 1:33, when John the Baptist made very clear that my authority to baptize came from heaven, and he was the one who told me who Jesus was. All right? Teaching of the use of authority. In Matthew chapter 20, I'll just try to finish it quickly. This is important because after that we'll talk about 8 things that we need to quickly do, how to respond to authority. The teaching of the use of authority. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 28, Jesus called unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles, basically the worldly people, the worldly leaders, exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. In other words, those who are high in leadership positions usually exact respect, exact service from the people. Yes? That's the world. That's why a lot of people like to be rich and famous because of their money and popularity and fame. You get people who say, oh, I love him, you know, and yay, you know, yay, Prime Minister, something like that, you know, you kind of... You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, my idea... God's idea of authority is vastly different from this world. Jesus says, it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. The word minister means servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be minister unto, but to minister and give his life as ransom for many. The world has its way of using authority. Authority means I'm in charge, you listen to me. Jesus says no. God's way for the use of authority is through servanthood. In other words, the higher you are, the lower you should be. Think about that. Fathers, if you want to be respected and listened to, we need to be the lowest member of our family. In service. We need to be doing most of the things, not delegating all the time. Of course, there's a place for delegation and every child should cooperate. But fathers, we need to be the one doing the most. We need to be the one waking up the earliest. We need to be the one always with the children. We need to be the one driving the direction of the family as much as we can. I know there's a teaching that says the father is the head of the house, the wife is the Holy Spirit that helps. Now as the wife carries out the will of the father in cooperation. But you know, it's a father then after they come back to take account, to make sure things are running. If things are not running, don't blame the mother. You take responsibility. Okay? And that's something that, of course, there's a cooperation. A husband and wife need to work together. All right? I see some people nudging each other already. Okay, God's way for the youth authority is through servanthood. Through servanthood. Those in authority must be servants, just like the Son of God. Okay? 8 reflections very quickly. Number one, we are to be obedient to the word of God because that's the final authority. If you have philosophy on any other authorities, you are on the wrong foundation for life. Because one day when you stand before God, God is not going to ask you, what did Stephen Covey say? Or what did Baskin Robbins say? No, Anthony Robbins. What did so-and-so say? He's going to say, what did the Word of God say? The Word of God is the final authority. Fathers, if you want our children to walk with God, we need to be final about this authority. That I'm going to obey this at all costs. That's when you bring out your children to love God. I'm not saying perfection. And children, please don't expect perfection from your parents because they are not. But you know what? We need to be pushing towards perfection. Amen? An army of Christ, a country that pushes all constantly towards. We will never reach the perfection of Christ. But as a people, we need to be growing towards that. And the first thing we need to do, make sure we are on the right foundation. We must be in obedience to the Word of God. Because it's a final authority. Number two, we are to submit and obey authority of parents, pastors, and rulers in our land because that's the right thing to do. We are to submit and obey authority of parents, pastors, and rulers in our land because it's the right thing to do. Unfortunately, today's society blatantly dishonors and disobeys authority, whether it's parents, pastors, or some of the rulers of the land. Okay? Proverbs 30 verse 11, there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. We're in that generation today. In a generation today that daughters can call their mothers or their fathers different words. You know what? Sometimes even parents will say that to their own children. We need to be careful of influences. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, whenever there's disobedience, is an indication of a deep spiritual problem, is an indication of evil society. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, this know also that in the last days dangerous or perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. The Bible says, Ephesians 6 verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God gives no other reason except that is the righteous standard of God. Obedience is the righteous standard of God. Okay? Leviticus 19 verse 3, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I'm the Lord your God. All right? We need to be obedient to pastors. Hebrews 13 verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? They watch for your souls as they must give account that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Obey your parents, obey your pastors. Okay? Okay, point number three, when we refuse to obey authority, we sin against God. When we refuse to obey authority, we sin against God. It's sin. I'm just calling it sin because it is sin. Because you transgress against the authority that God gave to you. Okay, for Brother Francis, point number four, when we are bound to disobey human authority, when these authorities, when we are instructed by these authorities to go against the principles and the print of Scripture, PMP, the principles and the print, that means the Word of God, we are bound to, we are actually bound by our conscience before God to go against this. For example, you're not supposed to have your church anymore. I'm sorry, I'm still going to church. You can kill me because I have a higher authority that says meet together. Of course, you'll be discreet, you'll be careful. That's why many Christians in other countries give their lives. All right? Because they choose to obey God rather than man. When God places us in positions of a leadership with authority, we are to use these positions for service just as Christ did. And that's a teaching of Scripture. In fact, Jesus was the highest in terms of regal and spiritual authority. Regal means kingly authority. And yet he was the lowest in his position as a servant to die on the cross. That, fathers, that, Christian workers in this church, that is our pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God gave us the delegated authority. We need to serve with our hearts, okay? And then the messages and lessons we teach and preach must have the authority of the Word laid with his message. Fathers, when you teach, it's not just your instruction. Your children need to hear that that is the God, Word of God, okay? The message and the lessons we teach and preach must have the authority of our testimony on it. It's very hard to listen to someone when we see the person's life wrong. Okay? In the last point, our lives ought to be a life of principled obedience. In other words, we obey because it's right. We don't obey because we feel like it. We don't obey because it's convenient. We don't obey because, or we are being forced to. Our life needs to be, as a Christian soldier, yes, Lord, I'll do that, because that's the right thing to do. All right? The last verse, 1 Corinthians 15:24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he had put down all rule and authority and power. This is an interesting verse. Do you realize when Jesus says all authority is given to him, that's the beginning of the church age. And then when everything is done, all the way to the final casting of the people down to a lake of fire, and everything is done, you know what Jesus will do? Jesus will give all authority back to the Father. That's what Paul says. There will come a time, yes, of course, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, their authority, but the different people has to do different things, and Jesus made it clear that at the end, when everything is done, the Lord Jesus, in submission, will give back all authority back to the Father. He will deliver up the kingdom. Lord, this is what you asked me to do. I fulfill everything. I'm bringing it back to you. Okay? Does it make sense? Any question? It sounds, you know, when we're going through this, we need to look at this again in our own lives and say, Lord, am I in submission to the authority you've put under me, put over me? Because if you are, you'll be being baptized. Because that's a word of authority. If you are, you will be. Fathers, you'll be a servant of your family. If you are, mothers, you'll be supporting your husbands, because that's the role that God's given to you. If you are children, you'll be obeying your parents. Okay, you know, sometimes as fathers we find, or mothers, we find it hard. It's not because we don't love the children, because it's lost that force of authority. Or maybe in rebellion, we say it's no. But you know, we need to change that. May ambassador be, before God, a church that submits to authority, because that is the teaching of Scripture. Okay? And fathers, let's be servants of our family. Christian leaders, let's be servants, so that we can, with the force of our testimony, be able to serve with the authority that we serve is because we love God. Okay, any questions? Yes.
Servants of the family. Fathers must be servants of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give some concrete examples?
Okay, for example. Okay. Okay, for example.
If your child can, like, you see this note and say, Father, you must be my servant.
Okay, okay, well, okay, that's the next.
This is quite transparent with that.
Okay, okay. Well, I think over time, sometimes children will, I think children probably know what they're doing. If they say, you must be my servant, maybe for a younger one, can I just do this? Or maybe I'll just answer the question since it's publicly. Okay, one example could be, in the practice of it, okay, if you're concerned about the children, in the practice of it, if the child cries in 3 a.m., your wife is tired, say, don't worry, you go and sleep, I'll take care of the children. Some practical ways like this, okay? Or you notice that maybe wife just overwhelmed or something like that. And sometimes husbands, we can be very insensitive because we only do what we want, okay? But being a servant means, literally, I've learned over the years, preparing many messages is quite hard, but I've learned one thing. I've made a decision. Every time my younger ones come to me, I will drop everything and go with them. Just do. It's very hard because later on, you got to rethink again. But that's being a servant. It's just putting their needs first, okay? Of course, I still tell them what to do, because I'm still the father. But one thing I've learned is I appreciate the obedience. You know, sometimes it's not easy. But I think as fathers, that's why God wants us to stretch ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ gave everything for us. And fathers, if we're not willing to leave our comfort zone, we will not be the fathers God wants us to be. We just will not be, okay? Now, I'm not saying, therefore, we're guilty. I'm saying, let's build up. Okay, we all have our levels. We all have different levels of faith. Let's start. Okay, what does God ask us to do next? It could just be, okay, now I have to wash the laundry. And it could be that if you look at the assessment of your wife, you're just busy running around all that with the laundry, you know. Don't worry about that. I'll settle that for you. Or just doing the simple things. Okay, I'll go down and get, Of course, children don't take advantage of that. Please, those are teenagers. Don't take advantage of that. Oh, pastor say you must be my servant. Can't come wash my leg. That's wrong, okay? Okay, I think you know what I mean. Oh, that's a different context. That's a different context. Okay, never mind. Maybe I'll share you one-to-one.
I think this kind of teenager, this is just for fun.
Okay, okay. Sure, sure. Correct, correct. So I think let's have a worthy idea. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Then, okay, you can chat. Father, you are our authority. Your word has been given to us. And I'm praying, Father, that you help us to all have a humble heart of submission to you. Lord, there are many areas of our lives that can become better if we just listen to your word. Help us to realize, Lord, just because we rebel now or we disobey now, doesn't mean we're not going to suffer the consequences later. So, Father, we pray for a humble spirit among our hearts. And that, Father, for those who have trusted Christ, that our hearts will always have a heart of service for our family, for your work, Lord, and so for those in need. Thank you, Lord. We pray you bless our service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.